book of Revelation, chapter 20. We're not going to really study Revelation 20, but I want to read something that we're going to be getting at. But I want to cover a subject tonight in our study on prophecy I've never talked about before in my life. And I tried to study this out hard. I'm going to have to be very honest tonight and very humble. If there's some things I mentioned tonight I don't understand, nor do I know how to plug them in or fit them in certain spots about prophecy. In fact, tonight's not really that much about prophecy, but this is the 19th lesson in our study on prophecy. And tonight I want to speak about the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. Now, that's not prophecy. That is something that actually exists right now. But I want to talk about that because that bottomless pit is important for us as we study a future subject, and that is about the millennium. And we're going to be very grateful for this bottomless pit, believe me, when that comes. I'd like to also teach a lesson in the near future here about Babylon and the millennium, as I said, as well as eternity future. And then we're almost to the end of these studies on prophecy. I hope they've been enlightening to you. I'm glad that you've chosen to come out tonight on this very windy, snowy, cold winter night here in Western New York. I know many are having trouble. I understand the church up the road has canceled their services because of no electricity. And we're glad that the Lord spared Eden from that. I don't know if you looked out here in the driveway or not. It's kind of funny. We bought a new shed and put the snowblower in it, put it up against the church building here. And if you go out there, it's turned around. It's against the factory, like we put it there. And somehow it got spun a 180 and put up against the factory, almost like we placed it there on purpose. The only difference is somebody ripped one of the doors off. So the wind did a number on that. And but it's still out there. And it has the snowblower in it still and everything, so. But it's a wintry night, and one of the things that inspires me is that you've come out on this wintry night, and plus also to know about the internet and the website and ministry, that no matter who shows up, many or few, that it just blesses my heart to know that others are going to be listening around the world. And Brother Frank, we were down at a church in, I forget which one of the churches in Florida, after the service. Man came up to me and said, "You Pastor Art Cole?" I said, "Yes." "Faith Bible Baptist Church, Eden, New York?" "Yes." He says, "I listen to you and go to your website every day." And it's just a man out of the blue. We hear that over and over in different places. And so God bless him. I hope he's listening to this. And I've forgotten your name. Forgive me for that. But Lord bless all of you listeners. Now it says here, in Revelation 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Keep that word chain in mind as we look a little bit later at the book of 2 Peter and Jude. "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Now, I want you to notice the subject of the bottomless pit. It talks about the bottomless pit here in verse number 1, and again here in verse number 3. And I want to talk about the bottomless pit. Eventually, this is important for us in understanding the millennium that we'll look at probably in a couple weeks. And I want that lesson to be a blessing to you, the millennium. You know, I know sometimes if we're not careful, we get discouraged as believers by what's happening here in Albany, New York, and we get discouraged by what's happening in Washington. It doesn't really look like there's anyone we'll be able to vote for with much enthusiasm this year. We get discouraged by what we see going on in Rome and different places of the world. But just always remember that King Jesus is coming to this earth. And he is going to rule and reign on this earth. He's going to rule and reign in Albany someday. He's going to rule and reign in Washington someday and in Rome someday. And on this earth, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And we, those that have been either martyrs or have been faithful to Jesus Christ in their life, will rule and reign with him. And that's for 1,000 years. That's not some fantasy or fairy tale or figment of our imagination. That's real. Jesus Christ is going to reign on this earth again someday. Some things have to happen before that time, including the binding of Satan with a great chain in a place called the bottomless pit. So I began to study the subject of the bottomless pit, which is what I want to speak to you about tonight. And it's a subject I've never ever spoken on or really studied out. I found it interesting. Maybe you will too. Just some things to understand a little bit about what's going on in the dark world and the unseen spiritual warfare of our day. And if anything, I think we should thank the Lord tonight for the existence of the bottomless pit and for what is going on in there right now and what it will be used for in the future. Now, the bottomless pit is mentioned 7 times in Scripture, that phrase, the bottomless pit. They're only found in the book of Revelation. The first time is in Revelation chapter 9, so if you go back there, we're going to look at every time, all 7 of them tonight, and just kind of form some doctrine. This will be more doctrinal than it will be prophetic. A few of the things I say might sound a little bit sensational. It might cause you to scratch your head a little bit and wonder where that came from, that type of a thing, but I'm going to try not to be dogmatic about things that are maybe just my opinion or the way I see it. But nevertheless, it's in the Bible. Let's understand a little bit about the bottomless pit tonight. Now, going back to Revelation chapter 9, I believe that the bottomless pit is a compartment in hell for fallen angels, that is, the worst ones that fell during the rebellion of Lucifer, when it appears that he took 1/3 of all of the angels that God ever created, the righteous angels, and turned them into unrighteous angels by them following him in his rebellion against God. Angels like us are free moral agents. They have a free will. And about 1/3 of them chose to follow Lucifer in his rebellion against God. And it seems to me, as I try to read all the scriptures about the fallen angels, or what the Bible calls devils or unclean spirits, it seems to me that there are some that are so bad that God in his mercy has already locked them up and created a place for them to be bound in chains at this very moment, this very day, in a place called the bottomless pit. Whereas others, for some reason, are still allowed to go free and to roam and to do their work on earth, awaiting their final sentence. But there are some that are already chained up, and they are chained up in that what seems to be to me a compartment in a place called hell, called the bottomless pit. Now, in Revelation 9 and verse 1, it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth." Now, again, the word star and the word angel are often used interchangeably in the book of Revelation. I've pointed that out in past studies. "And to him," to this star, "was given the key of the bottomless pit." Now, notice he didn't have the key. It was given to him. Now, who gave this star the bottomless key? If you'll turn back to Revelation 1 and verse 18, we have the answer. We know that in the book of Matthew, it tells us that the church has the keys to the kingdom. And I believe that's just a phrase that is synonymous with the gospel. And the authority of the church, the authority to discipline, the authority to set standards and have convictions and rules according to the Word of God, and to loose people with the gospel preaching ministry of the church. So don't confuse the keys of the kingdom with these keys mentioned in verse 18 of Revelation 1. Notice who's speaking, of course, is Jesus. If you have a red letter edition, you notice that. It says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now there's something that ought to be comforting to us, that there is no religion that has the keys of death and of hell. They belong to Jesus Christ. Now there's some churches that claim to have those keys of death and hell, like the Mormon religion, for instance. They claim to have these keys, and if you should leave their church or not be a part of it, that's what they believe. Well, they don't have the keys of death and hell. Jesus Christ has them. And he's the one who determines who goes there or not. Now, notice Jesus has the keys of death and of hell. And I think as you compare so many scriptures, the bottomless pit is a part of hell. Now, back to our text in Revelation 9:1, my conclusion then is that Jesus gives this star that falls from heaven unto the earth the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. There's the second mention. And notice what happens. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, the location of this pit seems to be in the center of the earth because the air and the sun are darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit as it rises up. Now, notice the word furnace, and if you want to, turn back to Matthew 13, or else I'll read it for you. Matthew 13, Jesus twice used the word furnace to describe hell. In Matthew 13:42, it says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then down in verse 50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want you to notice here that Jesus describes hell as a furnace of fire. What a horrible thing. I can't picture that in my mind. The only thing that comes to my recollection that helps me to understand that is a little experience I had once in Germany when I was touring the Dachau concentration camp. What happened there to Jews and others that were held captives by the Nazis there was so hideous that they demolished the whole camp, but they thought for posterity they should leave a few of the buildings up as a warning to future generations of what can happen when people lose their minds and when people become so diabolical as Hitler was and so on. And one of them was the crematorium where they took us in, and another was the gas showers that they took us in, and they, of course, explained to us what happened to people in those places while they were still alive. And they had the furnaces and the doors open in there, and you could see where they put the people on, tied them onto a iron table and slid them in there and burned them to death, and then they just kept putting people to death that way. Needless to say, I haven't forgotten that experience, even though it was back in 1978, 30 years ago. That still troubles me. I don't like to think about those things, but I force myself at times to look at those things. We went to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, and I tried to look at the pictures because I want to try to live in reality what can happen on this earth. And the Bible says hell is a, Jesus said, hell is a furnace of fire. It's no joke. It's no four-letter word for comedians to use. Or for us to use in our conversation lightly. It is a place where people go that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus went on to describe that it is a place in the belly of the earth. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40, Jesus said this. He said, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then when he died, it says his soul in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 27, and Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 31, it says his soul was not left in hell. In other words, Jesus went into hell, that is Hades, where there was another compartment that was called at that time Abraham's bosom. And so there seems to be compartments in hell, just as when we get to the lake of fire, in a study here a few weeks from now, I'm going to show you that there's different compartments in the lake of fire also, some being more tolerable than others. But it's certainly no place that any of us should want to go. And, you know, we need to be affected by this, and we need to believe in this, and it needs to affect our hearts. One of my prayers on my prayer list that I try to pray every day is, "Oh Lord, increase my faith in the reality of heaven and in the reality of hell, that it will produce more good works in me to try to save people from going to hell and try to get people to go to heaven." It's a real place. It's a furnace. Jesus called it a furnace of fire. And notice, when this bottomless pit is opened up from the belly of the earth, there comes up smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air are darkened by reason of the great smoke. Now in verses 3 through 10, we read about these despicable, hideous locusts coming out that I think is just the Apostle John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, trying to describe to us demons that have been chained up there for at least 6,000 years. Think about that now as I read verses 3 through 10 in Revelation 9. "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months." Now these creatures that come out of the bottomless pit are subject to God. God tells them, don't hurt any green grass, and don't hurt any trees, and don't hurt anyone that has the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, something, if you remember from our study on angelology, when we studied demons, is demons are subject to the law of Christ. These being the ones that were chained up, even those that were free, often when Christ walked the earth, it says, for instance, he would suffer not the devils to speak. And he would not let them tell others who he was. they were subject, and he would tell them to get out of people, and they would have to get out of people. And he would give them liberty to go into pigs, and they would go into pigs, and so on. And so they are limited in what they can do. And when these come out of the bottomless pit, they are limited in what they can do. And only those who have refused the name of God in their foreheads and do not know the Lord will be tormented. And maybe it's the mercy of God. This torment will only last 5 months, according to verse 5 and verse number 10. But believe me, that's enough. Now, with that in mind, we talk about the chain here, the chain that would bind Satan later. Turn back to 2 Peter, and I want to show you something about angels in the past, and I can't quite understand all of this, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, Peter says this, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to where? To hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So the Bible says that there are certain angels that sinned that have already received their judgment from God. They have already been cast down to hell, and they have been delivered into chains, and they perpetually live in a state of darkness. And they are reserved unto judgment there. It's kind of like in our judicial system. There's times where a person might be put in the holding center, first of all, down in Buffalo. Then they're allowed out of the holding center to go to trial before they're put in their final place of judgment, maybe a prison or correctional facility or something. That's the picture here. That's the picture here. It says God cast them down to hell. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, and this is important doctrine right here, and I allude to this often when people talk about hell and why they don't believe in it. It says in Matthew 25 and verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I like to bring out to people, and you should too, that, you know, hell is not a place where God planned for man to go. But Satan and his angels rebelled first. But then man, starting with Adam and Eve, also listened to Satan and chose rebellion against God. And some have refused, for instance, like Cain, the first one who refused, and others to avail themselves of God's redemption. And so as a result, in Isaiah 5 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." So hell has had to enlarge itself because so many, literally by the billions, have followed Satan and these fallen angels in their rebellion against God, refusing to be redeemed, refusing to be saved. And so God has had to enlarge. I don't believe God ever made it for many people to go there. But man has chosen to rebel against the Lord and refuse Jesus Christ is their Savior. So Peter says there's this place where some in darkness, angels, are already bound up in chains, already punished there. And they've been there for over 6,000 years because Adam and Eve were probably created about 6,000 years ago, and I personally believe the angels and the cherubims and seraphims were created at the same time. Now turn to the book of Jude. That's right before Revelation. Jude, right before the book of Revelation. Jude, I don't know if he got together with Peter or not, but he says almost the exact same words here in Jude chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So here we see almost the same words that Peter said, spoken by Jude, confirming that there are certain angels that are reserved already under judgment in the chains, and for that we ought to thank the Lord. I mean, it's bad enough, isn't it, dealing with the ones that are still free to do their work on earth? Any of you have any struggles with them? Well, let me give you a thought here. 21 times in the New Testament, they are called unclean spirits. Unclean spirits. That means they are the ones who foster unclean thoughts and unclean behavior in the human race. Have you ever had any problem with unclean thoughts? Have you ever had any problem with unclean behavior? Who do you think put that in your mind? Who do you think put that in your heart? The unclean spirits. These are spirits, these are little devils, little tempters who try to get people to be unclean. I thank God they're not all loose tonight. We ought to thank the Lord tonight for the bottomless pit. We ought to thank the Lord for S Block down the road here. That the people in there aren't free. Some of those hideous criminals, you can imagine in New York State, live 13 miles from here tonight. Aren't you glad for an S Block tonight? We ought to be glad for a bottomless pit tonight. Because I believe the worst of the devils, God has chained them up and says, no, I'm not going to let you free. But there are unclean spirits. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 24, it says this, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils. That's the first of 44 mentions of the word devils in the New Testament. So devils are mentioned 44 times. Unclean spirits are mentioned 21 times. That's 65 times it speaks about devils and unclean spirits who are still free to roam and do their satanic business in tempting men and women to have unclean thoughts, unclean actions, unclean behavior, and all kinds of sin. If you think it's bad now, can you imagine when the bottomless pit is open for 5 months and the worst of them are loosed on earth after being frustrated in chains for 6,000 years? What would it be like if we said to the death block down here in Collins, we're going to just let you out for 5 months. You know, I know some of the things some of these people have done. And I know some of the people in Gowanda and Collins 1 who aren't in S Block, which is maximum security. They're in a medium security. And I know what they've done. And what would it be like? How would you feel living in this area? Let's just forget about S Block. Take S Block, Collins 1, Collins 2, and Gowanda. Let's say we said to all of them, we're going to just give you 5 months free. Do whatever you want. Whoa. Aren't you glad for the penal system tonight? Don't you thank the Lord for it? And we ought to thank God tonight for the bottomless pit. And for these, the worst of the demons that are chained there, have been for the last 6,000 years. Well, thank God we're not going to be here when they're loosed. Amen? if we're saved, we're not going to be here during the tribulation period. Can you imagine? It says it's going to be so bad, men are going to seek death, not be able to find it. They'd rather die. And these hideous creatures. You know, something here about this description in Revelation 9, verses 3 through 10. I'll just throw this out for your thought. I mean, get your brain in gear. Have you ever noticed how much Hollywood is coming up with movies like this? With the ability to computer generate these hideous monsters and morph characters and sci-fi, demonic. Have you seen all this lately? Who do you think's inspiring that? And by the way, don't ever let your children watch that stuff. Don't let your children watch these satanic movies and Transformers and all this stuff where some guy morphs into a monster and turns into slime and all kinds of stuff. But as you read this, and I see a lot of smirks tonight as I say that. I know some of you don't take this seriously, but I do. Who do you think's behind? Do you really think it's human beings in Hollywood being inspired to make up this stuff? I don't think so. I think it's the devil behind it all, trying to get the earth ready for this kind of an invasion. Boy, this stuff's not a fairy tale. It's not fiction. It's not Hollywood sci-fi morphing and Transformers and so on. This stuff's real. And there's so much of it today. Now, they got a ruler over them. Now, I've always attributed, let's go on here, and we've got to finish up. Verses 11 and 12, I've always attributed these names to Satan, and they certainly do describe Satan. But it says they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which is, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Abaddon meaning destruction, Apollyon meaning destroyer. Now, it's probably not Satan, because he's not put into the bottomless pit until Revelation chapter 20. Now, the next mention of the bottomless pit is found in chapter 11. If you look there in verse 7, something does happen. It says, after the two preachers of Revelation 11, the two witnesses who are tremendous men of God, finished their prophecy, which is 3.5 years long. After 42 months, this bottomless pit is opened. For 5 months, the earth is tormented by these demons. It says in verse 7, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, notice that, ascended out of the bottomless pit, shall war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So we see a king. We see demons or locusts come out of the bottomless pit. We see a king named Abaddon and Apollyon come out of the bottomless pit. And now we see a beast come out of the bottom of these two prophets. He overcomes them and he kills them. Now, we don't know who this beast is. We saw back in one of our back studies that in chapter 13 and verse 1, the beast that rises out of the sea is the Antichrist. The beast that rises out of the earth is the false prophet. But here we see another beast that rises out of the bottomless pit. And this is where I have struggled and I've tried to compare everything I can. But all I know is he just seems to be a beast who's loosed for a season and wreaks torment on those on the earth before he goes back into perdition. If you go to chapter, 17 now. He's never mentioned again until chapter 17. And then you get to verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Skip down to verse 10. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And it just seems to me like continues for a short space. And just torments the earth. I don't know much about. I can't. There's a lot of disagreement about this. I've checked out commentaries and so on. So some commentators, like Matthew Henry and Peter Ruckman, believe that this is the Antichrist that comes up out of the bottomless pit. But he comes out of the earth, I believe, and the false prophet out of the sea. And I don't know who this is. There is another teaching that is taught, especially by Dr. Peter Ruckman, who certainly knows a whole lot more than I, and he believes that this beast that everybody wonders at that comes out of the bottomless pit is a resurrection of Judas Iscariot. And if you really read his arguments, and I don't have time because our time's up tonight just about, but I don't have time to develop it. He's got, you know, he's one of them guys that compares Scripture with Scripture with Scripture with Scripture, and I understand what he means by that. I'll read a couple scriptures here just so I don't leave you hanging because you really think I've lost my mind. In John 17:12, Jesus said this, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And so Jesus calls Judas Iscariot the son of perdition. Judas seemed, when he had died, to have gone to a place unique to him. In Acts 1 and verse 25, when they were picking an apostle to take his place, Peter said that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. So we don't know where Judas went, but the Bible says he went to his own place. And then, you know, the one that Ruckman uses, and I don't know what to say about it, but in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, which we know is talking about the Antichrist, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And so he calls the Antichrist the son of perdition. Jesus calls the Antichrist, Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition. Peter says he went to his own unique place after he died. And here we do see a beast come up out of the bottomless pit, and everybody in the world wonders when they see him. And it says he was and is not, and shall be. So, I don't know, I kind of hold the position that we're not going to really know until the rapture takes place, so I'm certainly not going to get dogmatic about that, although some have. But I just want to say this in conclusion tonight. Be sure you're saved. This is not Hollywood stuff here. Now, don't be delusional. Don't watch sci-fi movies. Don't let your kids watch these horror movies and sci-fi movies and Transformer movies. Don't let their mind start to be affected by these satanic things. Now, the presence of this place, the bottomless pit, which exists today, I believe, in the core of the earth, sets up the captivity of Satan that we read earlier in Revelation 20 and opens the rule, the door to the rule of Christ on earth for 1,000 years to be unimpeded. Isn't it going to be wonderful? I mean, there's going to be sinners on earth during the millennium, but there's going to be no one to tempt them with sin. They're going to have a sinful nature, but there's going to be no catalyst to prompt that sinful nature to do things. Isn't that great? Like if you're going through the store, And all of a sudden you hear this little voice telling you to steal a candy bar, steal this jewelry. Did you ever experience that kind of stuff? Or maybe not with stealing, maybe with some other sin. What is that? That's unclean spirits. That's devils. That's the tempter. Can you imagine for 1,000 years people never having to battle that? Never having to battle that. They're still going to have a sinful nature. But Satan, the tempter, and the devils, they'll be loose for 5 months, but then I believe they'll return to the bottomless pit and chains and so on and so forth. You know, some criminals we let go free until their sentencing day, don't we? In our society, there's some criminals that committed crimes, they're not considered that serious, and we let them go free till their sentencing date. Maybe they're out on bail or something like that. It seems to me like God's judicial system, and God is God. I'm not going to question anything he does. It seems to me that some, he's already sentenced them. They're so bad, they're so hideous, he's chained them up, and they're in that dark place, that tumbling place of a bottomless pit, kind of like a dryer machine that goes around, the clothes just tumbles and tumbles and tumbles. It seems like as the earth spins once around every day, these people just tumble and tumble and tumble. That's the way I picture it. It's a bottomless pit. The word bottomless means an abyss. They never hit the bottom. And they've been in there for 6,000 years. Boy, they're going to be loose someday. Man, I wouldn't want to be around here for that. I've had enough problems with the, I hate to say it this way, the good demons in my life. Imagine this. Thank God I'm saved. Are you saved tonight? I hope you are. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your word. And Lord, you've mentioned the bottomless pit so we could study it. And Lord, what wicked things are in there, what wicked things are coming out of there. And I thank you that you've not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we'll be taken out before the tribulation. Now, Lord, if there's somebody here that thinks it's a joke or they're not saved yet, they haven't trusted Jesus, I pray they would tonight be born again. Anybody listening, Lord, through the internet or some other form of the media, oh God. Lord, I've never done this before, but I want to thank you for the bottomless pit. I want to thank you for S-Block. I want to thank you for the penal system that has kept the worst of human beings behind bars, and the bottomless pit that has kept the worst of the demons behind bars, because probably everybody here, if they were honest, would say, I'm having enough trouble with the unclean spirits and the devils that are free. Thank you, Lord, that the worst of them are. We've never thanked you for that maybe before, but we do tonight. And Lord, we thank you that it's also a place where Satan's going to have a great chain bound around him and be thrown in for 1,000 years. We're not going to have to worry once for 1,000 years about him ever troubling this world. So Lord, thank you for this place. And thank you for your wisdom in knowing it would help us. It's hard enough without them being free. Thank you, Lord, for this even act of mercy towards us, the human race. Now bless this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.